Hey everybody, welcome back to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on today's episode, we are going over season 7, episode 14, called Jobbed, and it premiered on January 7th, 1997. So this one starts out, and we see some guy stopping by the After Dark looking for Valerie. David gets a little suspicious of him because he's not really explaining who he is, why he's there. But then Valerie comes out and she's obviously very excited because she sees Tom. His name is Tom, and he is a friend from Buffalo coming to visit. And he's pretty cute, I will say. On campus, there's a big job fair, which Tracy and Brandon are featuring on the news. So did he, now he's like, runs the news room with Mark, but he's also now a reporter on the news? I don't know. I don't get it that. I also, like, is Tracy the only person that's on the news on CUTV? Because usually, like, you'll see the news, there's multiple news anchors, and it seems that it is just Tracy is the only news anchor that works on CUTV. Anyways, is campus TV on only, like, in the dorms and everything affiliated to the school, or is it elsewhere? I don't even think my college, I mean, I'm sure we had to have. I've never seen a news report when I was in college. All we had was movie channels for like a, there's like three or four channels that would play the same movie on repeat for about a week, and then they'd switch it to another thing. So that's the only thing that I can like think of that was specific towards like the dorms. And I lived in an on-campus apartment, so that we had that. But I don't recall the news ever being a thing. Anyways, so they're featuring this job fair on the news. Then they run into Kelly, who tells them that she's just browsing this job fair. She's planning on going to get her master's after graduation. So she's not looking for a job post-school. I don't know what, I guess in psychology, right? She's a psych major. Anyways, Brandon does tell her that he has applied for a very prestigious fellowship called the Dryer. Kelly seems concerned. Why is that? Oh, because Mark has also applied for the Dryer Fellowship. Are fellowships like, it's just an award, or is it a scholarship for grad school? I don't really know, and I don't know what the Dryer Fellowship is, so I will look into that. I don't know. Anyway, so at the Peach Pit, Donna tries to talk to her father about her future after college, because I guess that's what they're all doing, and it's now, I guess, the start of second semester, so they have one semester left of school. And also, to spend a little time with him, since she hasn't for Christmas, she tells her dad that, you know, she's trying to stay away from the job fair. She just wants to, you know, not think about it, I guess, and just spend some quality time with her dad. David tells Donna that a friend of Valerie's is visiting, and he probably surprised that she actually has any friends besides Ginger, because that's the only one we've ever seen. No one else has ever come to visit. Dr. Martin learns that his receptionist has called in sick, so he asks Donna to fill in for the day. So now I guess that she's getting ready for a job. He figured, oh, you can, test this job, which, I mean, she's never, has any, none of them have ever had a job, I feel. Brandon, obviously. But Brandon stopped working. Brandon worked at the Peach Pit and the Beach Club to pay for his car when he was in high school. But then when he went to college, he stopped working, so he doesn't work anymore. Steve's never had a job. Kelly's never had a job. Donna's never had a job until today. And I guess you can say Valerie and David do, because they were on the club. Other than that, no one works. I mean, I worked. Yeah, I worked when I was in college. But anyways, Claire finds Steve is working out at the beach, reminding him that she has him a job interview at a sportswear company. They're not fighting, which is news, because they're usually fighting. Valerie tells Brandon that she's invited to Tom to stay at the house while he's in town, but does make a point to say he's staying on the couch. Okay. Then at the job fair, a man from Minnesota finds Brandon wanting to talk to him about some job opportunities. Tracy notes that Valerie considers Tom more than just a friend, even though he's going to be staying on the couch. But Valerie does admit that he was her first. Does that mean first love or first, I'm going with the part. And speaking of Tom, when Valerie calls home to check in with him, he tells her that he has a surprise for her, and it looks like a videotape. Now, for you kids out there, a videotape is something that existed before Netflix, before DVDs. You would put this large tape into a VCR, and that would play the tape. Those existed when I was little. I don't think anyone has tapes anymore or a VCR. I think DVDs are still around, but I don't know if everyone even has a DVD player anymore. Those kind of have shifted, and now you have Netflix and Hulu and all the streaming services to watch all the movies that you want. Anyway, so Donna does the receptionist thing, offering some advice to a patient with stomach problems, because that's what receptionists do. They offer medical advice to people calling. Dr. Martin asks her to just take messages, not have conversations with the patients, because, she's not a doctor and shouldn't be offering medical advice to anyone. Mark tells Brandon that he is applying for the Dreyer Fellow and kind of just offers condolences since he doesn't think they're going to give fellowships to two people from the same state, and kind of, implying that he's got it in the bag. Later, Mark tells Kelly that he's talked to Brandon. She's not thrilled about this whole little thing about their kind of competing for this fellowship. She thinks that Brandon has a disadvantage because he doesn't know much as much about the process as Mark does. But Mark says, I think I'm the underdog because, I guess Brandon is so great. Whatever. Valerie and Tom catch up. He reveals that he got fired from his job, and is picking up construction work wherever he can. I guess that's what he did back in Buffalo. Also, it's January in Buffalo. I don't think you'd want to be there. Trust me, I was there then, and I can tell you, not then, not in 97, but I can tell you that Buffalo is pretty cold in the winter. Yeah, so I guess he was doing construction there. He's looking for construction out in LA now. I guess the name of the episode is called Jobbed, so everyone's talking about jobs. They run into Kelly and Mark, and Valerie warns Tom not to be fooled by Kelly's friendliness because she was obviously nice to him. So I guess their whole, giving each other the journals for Christmas, is kind of out the window. Steve goes for his job interview with a woman named Dana who wants coffee and a cigarette while they talk because it seems like she ain't got time for him or anything. And she's a I mean, all these people that go to these job fairs are recruiters. So she's a recruiter. Her job is to recruit people, and it just seems like she doesn't even wanna be bothered with this. Anyways, Donna gives Dr. Martin a message from a patient, Mrs. Coastley, mentioning that the woman thinks that Dr. Martin's mad at her. He still doesn't seem to care about his patients' personal lives, which is a little bit out of character for him because he seems to, I mean, he's like the polar opposite of Felice. He's the nice guy, just weird kind of thing, or he's just really busy. David calls Donna, that she's getting chastised a lot by her father, Steve, she's telling him that, David. Steve and Dana move this interview into a cafe where, basically she invites him to lounge since she's done with the interviews for the day. So she just kind of wants to hang out with him. And by hang out, I mean she wants to definitely help him get the job, if you know what I mean. She makes it crystal clear that she is into Steve. Now, he's a college senior. How old is she? How old are we thinking she is? I'm thinking that she is a lot older than Steve. So she's going for a college boy. Yes, he is legal, obviously. He is over 18. However, really? It's just, I mean, whatever. So at this mixer for the dryer applicants, Tracy notices that Brandon is less confident about his fellowship now that he knows that Mark has a, applying as well. She thinks Brandon should have a leg up on Mark since he was CU's president. And Kelly says she wishes she had known earlier that both guys were applying. Brandon tells her to kind of, stay out of it, but in a nice way. He's not like obnoxious about it, but he just, he doesn't want to kind of have her in the middle of it because she's friends with Brandon and obviously in a relationship with Mark. Mark knows the people in charge of making this decision, but he's nice enough to make some introductions for Brandon's benefit, saying that he wants to keep it on a level playing field, which I think Kelly wants. Now, I still do not. I'm gonna just say I think that Tracy and Brandon are dating, right? I mean, they never. Maybe I missed it. They've like kissed here and there, but they've never made any solid, like, we're a couple type of, thing. Like, he did say to her that he's not looking for anything serious. And she got all upset and said she was gonna leave, but then she was fine with it. So since then, they've hung out, and it seems like there's a mutual interest there, but there's never been any we're a couple type of thing. Right? I don't know. I don't, like, since that conversation happened. Had that conversation not happened, yes, I would have thought that they were. I don't know. I don't know. But I guess they are. Donna is apologizing to her dad for not being as helpful as he would have liked, but her father feels bad that he made her give up a whole day of work for him. He also didn't want her to get into long conversations with Mrs. Coastley because she only talks about her cats. And Donna says that Mrs. Coatley thinks that he's mad at her because she started smoking again. He doesn't remember her telling him that. And then he starts to panic because tells Donna to get Mrs. Coatley on the phone. And apparently, the combination of smoking and the medication he's prescribed could kill her. And he wonders if Mrs. Coastley mentioned the smoking, to him and he wasn't paying enough attention. This is just so stupid. Donna obviously gets her on the phone and confirms that she hasn't taken the new medication yet, so everything's just fine. Maybe this is just showing that maybe Donna is doing a good job, because had she not spoken to Mrs. Coastley about her cats and smoking, then Dr. Martin would have, you know, this woman would have died. I don't know. Again, I don't know the point of this story. Just to give, I guess, Donna a storyline for the day. Then we're at this mixer, or after the mixer. Mark and Brandon are kind of talking. Everything's kind of fine with them. Mark even shared a secret in acing the interview. He says that they could both get the fellowship. Kelly and Tracy are pleased that their guys are getting along, and they seem to be happy. You know, that they seem to be happy for their, I don't know. I don't know. So David praises Donna for being so talkative, because if she hadn't chatted with Mrs. Coastley, she would have, you know, not known about the possibility of a medical disaster. Just what I was saying. That's the point of that episode, or for Donna. Donna thinks that her father should work fewer hours so he's not so stressed all the time and he has more time to listen to his patients. So if he took more time with more patients to talk about their cats and their smoking, he would pick up on these things. That's the moral of the story. Okay. At Peach Pit, Steve tells Claire that his interview went well, so well that Dana wants to sleep with him. When he said no, she told him she won't recommend him for the job, and Claire thinks he's lying, accusing him to kind of cover up the fact that he had a bad interview. And Steve shoots back at that maybe he should have slept with her just to get back at Claire, because Claire doesn't believe him. I mean, it is kind of like, even if he did poorly on the interview, like, what would be that big of a deal? He's never interviewed for a job before. He's in college. He doesn't need a job right now because it's, I mean, you know, it's January. It's the start of the semester. And everyone doesn't nail their interview. Everyone's had a bad interview. If you haven't, that's a blatant lie. Like, you've had to have times where you interviewed with someone that you're like, it didn't go well as you'd like. You're not getting every job you've ever applied for. It just doesn't happen. I mean, right when I graduated college, I can't even tell you the number of interviews I had. I mean, it was good practice for interviews, but I have tons of interviews that I didn't get the job for. It's just, you know, you have a lot of other people, you know, applying for jobs, and it just kind of works out that way. I mean, I lucked out. My first job I ever got, I interviewed for a job that I was not right for. It was a more senior level job. I figured it sounded interesting. I applied for it, and they called me back because they said they needed someone like junior, and it just kind of worked out that way for me. But that was after multiple interviews, so it's kind of just funny that, you know, she's pissed at him for thinking that he didn't do great on an interview. And Claire, what are you doing? You haven't, like, what's Claire's plans? Is she going to grad school? What is her even major? What is Claire's, actually, that's the thing. I don't even know what Claire is doing for school. She was involved in TV, I think. Communications with that, but that was like her freshman year, so I don't know what she's doing now. It makes no sense. It's weird to me. So Mark tells Kelly again that despite what he said to Brandon earlier, he doesn't think that the dryer will go to two people from the same state. Kelly's annoyed at Mark for leading Brandon to believe differently, calling him arrogant. And Mark complains that there's a lot of pressure on him because he's always been expected to get a dryer because I guess it's a family thing. And if Brandon doesn't get it, his life will still be fine. But Mark has a lot riding on it. So I guess his family were dryer fellows. I don't know. We know he's rich. Other than that, I don't know. Tom's surprise for Valerie is, in fact, this video of them getting ready for the prom together. They reminisce about things, and then it takes a sudden turn when Valerie spots her dad on the tape. She has a flashback we've seen before of, you know, her trying to get into the bathroom when her father kills himself, and she tells Tom that he's the only person who knows what really happened. And Tom promises not to tell anyone. So that was a little clue of something that we hadn't known before. What really happened? As far as we know, Valerie's dad just killed himself. We don't know anything else, but she's implying something else happened and Tom knows. So that's a very interesting. Brandon goes to his dry interview, and when he's asked to talk about his essay topic, it is the 1987 Minnesota Twins. He explains that the team was his role model when he was a kid because they taught him how to overcome adversity and work together as a team. I respect that. Sports is a big part of Brandon's life. He's from Minnesota, and the 1987 Minnesota Twins won the World Series. Was that the last time they won? Did they win in the 90s? I don't know why 92 is sticking out to me for some reason. I will look that up. I'm a baseball fan, so that's why I'm interested. But I will look into the Twins and when they last won. I mean, it could be 87, but, you know, I'm for some reason, 92 sticking out in my mind. I know, I feel like the Blue Jays won in 90, 91. I don't know. I'll look into it. My team won the year before the Twins, the last time they won, 1986. New York Mets. Break my heart every year. Anyways, that was his essay. Brandon thinks he is now going to get a question. The next question is going to be what Mark told him to prepare for. But instead, he is asked to compare and contrast John, Calvin, and Ezekiel, the prophet, which was not what Brandon said the question would be. So he looks stumped. We don't know what happens after that. Anyways, so Steve meets with Dana again, telling her that he's ready to take her up on her sex offer. First, they'll start at the Condor's Nest, and then they're gonna take it from there. The beach apartment, Kelly waits impatiently for news of, you know, Mark and Brandon's dryer fellow. She's worried that if one gets it, the other, you know, things won't turn out well. Dr. Martin then calls Donna to tell her that he is cutting back on his hours just as she advised. She's so smart. She's helped her dad. He tells her not to worry about working after college. You know, whoever hires her will be lucky to have her. Sure. So at the Condor's Nest, you know, we're here with Steve and Dana, and he's flirting, getting her to invite him back to bed. And it turns out that Claire and Dana's boss have been sitting nearby listening to the whole conversation. So Dana is in a shitload of trouble. Steve, however, is out of the doghouse with Claire, and he forgives her for not believing him, as he should. The dryer candidates await their results. Brandon's nervous, but Mark is very calm because he obviously thinks he's going to get it. They come out, and one of the fellowship goes to a girl from Oregon, and the other one goes to, drumroll please, Mr. Brandon Walsh. And obviously, Mark is pissed. Brandon is kind of cool about it. You know, not, you know, he doesn't go overly excited. He smiles, you know, goes to kind of shake Mark's hand, and Mark's pissed about it. Just, you know, he's angry. So, by the way, I forgot to just mention this. Dana, when she says to, this was funny. She says to Steve,
when they're talking about the interview. She says, "I have to warn you, it might be an oral." I was actually very surprised that that was even in there, to be completely honest. I thought it was very, very funny. But anyways, it just, as I was talking about this, I got sidetracked and I forgot to mention that, but it just dawned on me. Anyways, so at the Peach Pit, now everyone is celebrating Brandon's success with a cake. It's actually a birthday cake for someone named Bobby, but Nat had to improvise. I mean, sorry, Bobby. Did your birthday get canceled? I don't know. And Kelly doesn't know where Mark is. Valerie wants David to let Tom manage the After Dark, but David doesn't think it's a good idea. Because sure. Anyways, when Kelly is outside, she runs into Mark. He is blaming her for his failure because, she distracted him by getting him to think about Brandon, and now he's decided he wants to have sex. And Kelly's like, nope. And he's like, come on, Kelly, I really need it. It's really weird. And he's drunk, and I don't know, it's weird. She's glad she hasn't slept with him. She tells him, he lost his scholarship because he's too arrogant. And Mark replies that until she's ready to sleep with him, kind of leave him alone. And Kelly's totally fine with it, giving up, the family money and the prestige that he's, could have had by if she stuck with him. And it just, yeah, I mean, as I've said in the past, I think he sucked, and I am glad that Mark and Kelly are done, because that means that's the end of Mark. We won't be seeing him anymore. And that's it. That is this episode. We'll just recap. Fun facts and tidbits. So, Jason Priestley directed this episode. He's been doing a lot of that lately. And I'm gonna do the spotlight before I go into the second part, because the second part's actually the most interesting. But the spotlight is on Kim Morgan, who played Dana on this episode. I think her last name, I think she's Kim Morgan Green now, but she was just Kim Morgan maybe at the time, or that's what she was credited as. But she was born on November 28th, 1960, which makes her 60 years old now, which would mean that she was 36 when they filmed this. So, 36 hitting on a 21-year-old? Sure. Even though I think Ian's probably pretty close to her age, if not, I mean, he's got to be about 60, which is right. Or is no? Am I being insensitive and saying that he's actually more like 50? He's probably more like 50. Let's see. Ian's earring, I'm gonna say maybe he's in his, no, he is closer to that age. He's 57. Wow. He was the second oldest, but behind Gabrielle Carteris. So yeah, he's 57, but Kim's turning 61. So they're not that far apart in age, but she's playing around her age in real life, and he is playing a 21-year-old, 22-year-old at the time of this. 21 still, actually, because his birthday is in May, since we knew from the Goo Goo Dolls episode. Anyways, so she's from North Carolina originally. She is mostly known for, so Dynasty was a nighttime spinoff, and they had a or nighttime spin nighttime soap opera, and they had a spinoff called The Colbys, and she was on that spinoff. I never heard of the show, but apparently it was what she's mostly kind of known for. She also, for about a year, was on the daytime soap opera called Another World. And then, she did the Colbys. She was on a show called Silk Stockings, which I never watched, but like I heard of it, and I feel like a lot of people have been on that at some point. And in 2002, in the North Shore Music Theater right outside of Boston, she actually played Roxy Hart in the play Chicago. And then since 2018, she's been a member of the Broadway Theater Project. So I think she's mostly just doing some Broadway here and there, or I'm not sure if she's still acting. But
Yeah, that is what she's kind of up to lately. Now, the reason why I want to get that out of the way, because this one is quite interesting, the story. So this was the last episode that we see Mark. They did 5 episodes with the character of Mark, and then he was kind of abruptly fired. There was rumors that he and Jenny didn't get, you know, along well. And Spelling, kind of, Aaron Spelling, you know, said fire him. Now the writers and producers did have more story with him. They had written continually, you know, storylines with him, and you know, basically Aaron wanted him gone. The reason why he wanted him gone, he told the writers and producers that Dalton James was anti-Semitic. They mentioned this. That this was the reason why. They said, obviously, they'll have to do that. But it's a... I don't know. I mean, it's a very interesting kind of accusation, if it's not true. Because, I mean, Aaron Spelling's Jewish, so if he said something to him, I don't know. I mean, it's very... But the producers have verified that that actually was what the reason why they had to fire him. I mean, I don't know if he needed a reason, I mean, but supposedly that's what he said. So they, you know, I don't know. I mean, but they're saying, like, with... This could really ruin his reputation if a person of Aaron Spelling's stature is saying that this guy is anti-Semitic, whether or not it's true. But the guys, you know, the writers and producers said there's no evidence that he was, and he most likely wasn't, but they just kind of had to do what he wanted them to do. So kind of interesting about that. Now, the dryer fellow, I don't know what it is, because I Googled this, I looked it up, and nothing came up. So I don't know if it's a real fellowship or whatnot, but when I Googled it, everything that came up was about 90210. So I don't know if this is a real thing. Anyways, I was so close, but I was wrong about the twins in the World Series. So we know they won in 1987. That was Brandon's essay. And I kept saying 92. They won in 91. 92 and 93 were the Blue Jays. That was the back-to-back they did. 1991, the Twins beat the Braves in the World Series. So that is what I was thinking of. And yeah. Anyways, that's it for the fun facts and tidbits for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. And on the next episode, we are going over season 7, episode 15, called The Phantom of CU. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.